You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where our work and life are perfectly in balance. Either that or we're arrogant motherfuckers, or that's a false dichotomy. As always, if you enjoy your trip into the midside today, please, please tell a friend. Referrals are the number one source of business here in the midside. I don't always get personal with my opening monologue, but I would like to share an experience I had over the weekend. And I would like to share this because it's the manifestation of a lot of the issues we talk about on the podcast in real life. So it shows that what we talk about is extending well beyond the internet. This is affecting real life. Now, granted, I was in Los Angeles, so that might have something to do with it. But I was at a joint bachelorette party on Saturday night. And that's the first place I want to stop. People out there, if you are getting married, please, please, bachelor or bachelorette, equal opportunity here in the midside, please have individual bachelor and bachelorette parties. Those parties are not just about you and your last day of freedom, but it's also saying to your friends, hey, I want to have one last night out with you before I have my ball and chain. Obviously, I'm being a little over the top by saying ball and chain, because I don't see marriage as that negative of a concept. Maybe. Still kind of have to be convinced if there's a woman out there who wants to convince me of that. But my point is, a bachelor and bachelorette party, individual for each person getting married, or bachelor and bachelor, or bachelorette and bachelorette, whatever your, you know, bachelor and horsette, whatever your fucking preference is, have individual parties. So I'm at this joint party, and we play this game where whoever organized the party handed out these cards that said questions on the front that the couple had to answer, like the newlywed game. If their answers matched, everyone had to drink, except for me, because I'm straight edge and I had water. And if their answers didn't match, the couple had to drink. After the game was over, because we're sitting around a fire, I thought to myself, oh, hey, maybe I could throw this in the fire. But then my next immediate thought, and this is like automatic. I'm talking automatic thoughts at this point. I'm not talking about like I logically thought through things. My brain works automatically a lot, where it's like, hey, you should punch that guy. Hey, you don't want to go to jail. Hey, punch that guy. Be a tough guy. You don't want to go to jail. That's kind of how my brain works. And in this case, it was like, hey, you should throw that in the fire. And then it was like, oh no, they might want to keep it. So then a woman to the left of me throws it in the fire. So I looked at the boyfriend of the girl who organized the party, and I asked him, can we throw these in the fire? Because I knew he would look at her, and she would look at the fiancé, the bride, and the decision would be made. So the decision was made to keep it. By the organizer convinced, they both said the same thing, basically. The organizer, the girl who organized it, and the bride said the same thing. Keep it. It's a nice keepsake, which is what I thought they might say, because I thought, hey, they're women, and they like that kind of thing. To which I then made a comment to that extent. I said to the guy, I looked at the guy I made this to, by the way. Now, granted, it was a little bit across the table. The woman who threw it in the fire was sitting between us, and I looked at the guy and I said, yeah, I figured they might want to keep it, you know, feminine sentimentality. To which the woman who threw it in the fire said, I threw it in the fire first. I said, okay, do you really want to come after me over this? And she was like, well, don't talk in stereotypes. And I said, do you really want to ruin the night over gender studies? To which then the girl on the right attacked me and said, well, you need to stop talking in gender studies. Or you need to stop talking, sorry. She said, you need to stop talking in stereotypes. So at this point, I'm fucking pissed. I'm like, I blow up and I'm like, fuck this. I'm not going to sit here and deal with this shit. Grab my Iron Man hoodie and peace out. And that's when Daniel can attest that I called him on the phone, and he can tell you how fucking hard my adrenaline was pumping. Because I was attacked, and I felt attacked, and it was an attack. This is like, you know, what you see on Twitter in real life. Fuck that shit. Except I didn't have Hashtag TCOT or whatever the fuck Elliot gets involved in there. So that was my experience with social justice warriors in real life. Joining me this trip via Skype from our nation's capital, Daniel T. Richards. Daniel, I think you said you have a little bit of a cold.
Yeah, it's that time of year here in D.C. when we can't decide if it's winter or spring. And thus, I have been basically perpetually ill.
Also joining us via Skype from the House of Mouse, Elliot Rivera. And I think, Elliot, you're a little excited because I've decided I'm going to come visit the House of Mouse in October.
Woo, we're going to have such a good time, too. Because Daniel's gone. Our Midsider friend William has been down here. It's your turn.
I love how you already sound drunk. Woo, we're going to have such a good time. You already sound drunk. You know I don't drink, right?
Pre-drunk.
Pre-drunk.
He's pre-gaming his being drunk.
Pre-gaming. I'm not a drinker, I'm an eater. So I'm drunk on like steak or something.
Oh man, that's like a softball. I'm not even going to touch that one. Bring it too easy on me.
What she said.
That's a good one too. So do we have any other final thoughts here before we head into the news?
I hope I don't get you all ill via the inner tubes.
The virus? You're going to upload a virus to us and all our spaceships are going to crash and then we'll come back 10 years later in a sequel without the best actor from the show, from the movie?
A quite literal virus, yes.
All right, let's desalinate some water in the news with Daniel T. Richards.
Well, I assure you, Mr. Listener, it really is that bad. These aren't harmless criminals. This isn't just a fad. 'Cause kid, there's consequences to what we say and what we do. While you're dancing like an idiot, they're looking up to you.
Here at the Midside, we'd like to be your number one news source for all things desalination related. And so we could not pass up an excellent article from ndtv.com/india-news. Yes,
legit.
We're digging. But this came up in my news feed somehow, maybe because Facebook knows that I'm totally into desalination. And it comes from India. And the headline is, scientists make seawater drinkable, comma, produce 6.3 million liters a day. Out of Mumbai, as 13 states struggle with drought, scientists in a quarter of India have devised a way to make potable water from seawater. They've also developed certain filtration methods that ensure groundwater containing arsenic and uranium are safe to drink. The pilot plant at unpronounceable name here, built by scientists of the Baba Atomic Research Center, use waste steam from a nuclear reactor to purify the salt water, and its capacity is 6.3 million liters per day.
Oh my god. Oh my god. So you're telling me if we had nuclear power and desalinization, we'd have everything we fucking needed, right? That's what I just heard. That's what I just heard.
It is a energy compatibility issue made in heaven. You have the nuclear power, the steam from the reactor purifying the seawater.
Yeah, the fucking waste
and you
steam,
have,
right? That everyone fucking complains about polluting?
Yes,
Jesus
indeed.
Fucking Christ. Honestly, I didn't even read this article all the way through. I read the first headline and I was like, finally, someone fucking did it. I didn't read this goddamn far. Oh my god.
And this is literally in bumfuck India. And, of course, we can't have it in California because that would require common sense and a pro-business, pro-human mentality, which the state does not have. My second favorite thing about this article, because we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, is that the journalism in India is awesome. So this paragraph, I love this paragraph. Currently, the fresh water is being used at the unpronounceable nuclear reactor, but this reporter tasted the purified water. It tasted like fresh water, not saline at all.
What if he had fucking drunk it and died? That's a hell of a commitment to make for an article.
Yeah, but they're India. They're up to fucking here with people. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, India would be awesome if it wasn't for, like, the overpopulation and the vegetarianism and the caste system.
Except for all that, also the crushing heat and the lack of energy, but yes. If it wasn't for all those things, if it wasn't for the dysentery, it'd be a great place to live.
Hey, if it wasn't for the dysentery, Oregon Trail would have been awesome.
That's true. Well, speaking of awesome, this story is not that. Also, my transitions are just the best.
That's okay. We had like a huge lull right at the end of the intro section, so I think the bar set low for transitions today.
Award-winning transitions here at the Midside. Stick with it, folks. It only gets worse.
This is because we're trying to be fucking ambitious and be like Dr. Drew and Adam. Like when Dr. Drew interrupts and he just like says something random and it somehow fits.
Yeah. Of course, they have like 30 years of experience under their belt, so...
Like Tom Brady.
Except that I would fucking get annihilated if I just tried to play like Tom Brady. Okay, here we go. Former Facebook worker reports the company has been censoring photo because they're social justice-y fucktards.
They just Goodell did it to you too. Zuckerberg's in on the action now. The second you said been censoring, they censored you.
Excellent. That's what I like. That's what I like.
What happened? Wait, what happened? It cut off.
Just like last week when Goodell censored James, now Zuckerberg has censored Daniel. So Daniel, let's go with that again.
Okay. If it happens again, I suspect we are not dealing, in fact, with sensors, but with shitty internet connection.
No.
Just going to put that out there.
No, it's all censorship.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and. Okay. A former Facebook employee is basically claiming that Facebook censors conservative news in its trending news feed. This is originally a Gizmodo story. But we're getting this from therap.com because fuck Gizmodo. We're not giving them any traffic because they're social justice fucktards.
Also, I follow the Rap on Twitter, so I just happened to get this article from there. So I'm also on Lazy.
It opens up with a quote. Quote, it was absolutely bias. We were doing it subjectively, a former Facebook employee says. A Facebook employee who curated the site's trending news feed claims that the company has had a political bias against stories that might appeal to conservatives. Quote, depending on who was on shift, things would be blacklisted or trending, the former employee told Gizmodo. I'd come back on my shift and I'd discover that CPAC or Mitt Romney or Glenn Beck or popular conservative topics wouldn't be trending because either the curator didn't recognize the news topic or was like they had a bias against Ted Cruz. Didn't you always suspect this?
Yeah, but I did the thing where I blame myself. So this is actually really helpful because it's reinforcing what I'm currently learning about myself. So I have an issue where I blame myself. So what I mean by it was, I was always on Facebook, and literally, I'm sorry if you were friends with me on Facebook, I unfollowed you because I got sick of only seeing angry responses about politics and liberal responses about politics. And I wondered why everyone was only talking about liberal shit on Facebook. And I thought I was crazy. I was like, I must have friended the wrong people, or I have a bad social circle, or there's some algorithm that I did to fuck it up. So this actually is like a huge psychological relief for me. It's like, I'm not crazy. Here's evidence in reality that I was actually experiencing what I thought I was experiencing.
Yeah, and so there's a little bit here. There are a couple things. It is bias. I'm not sure, like, Zuckerberg was sitting in a conference room, twiddling his fingers, saying, excellent, saying, we're going to silence all the conservative news outlets. I think the bias is more so the first thing they said, which is that the curators weren't aware of some of these sites or some of these stories or didn't necessarily think they were important because they're all young Democrats. They're all young progressives.
Well, that's why it's much more dangerous. I mean, if it's a huge maniacal organization at the top, you know, excellent, you can point to the fucker and be like, shoot that guy in the head. But, problem
okay.
solved.
Not sure that'd be my solution, but that is one final solution, yes.
Yeah, okay, obviously I'm being over the top. But my point is, it's a lot easier and it's more evil in a way when there's a person doing it intentionally in that way. But when your company is so incompetent that you don't have protocols in place to make sure that this doesn't happen, and when the culture is so bad that the education system isn't educating people who are worldly enough to do this job properly, to me that's scarier. Because it's like, not only is Facebook fucked up, this is an example of the entire fucking culture being fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, are we going to defend them even a little bit? Where it's like, they are a private company, they can do what they want.
Oh yeah, they can do that. Sure. That's understood.
Here's the other way I'll defend them. Not really defend them, I think it's kind of despicable, but the four sites they mentioned that are among the news organizations that were flagged as suspect by Facebook curators: Drudge Report, Breitbart, Washington Examiner, and Newsmax. Not much lost, conservative movement.
Well, you know,
not
who is
much
lost,
though?
You know who is lost, though? Elliot.
Who?
Milo. I only ever heard about Milo from you. I to this day have never seen anything from Milo on Facebook. It wasn't until Elliot shared the Sexodus article that I had any idea who Milo was.
Talk about a fall from grace. But that's a whole other subject for another podcast.
No, yeah, so by the way, all four of these sites I mentioned, I believe, maybe Washington Examiner's not, but I believe all four of them are huge Donald Trump organizations. So just playing that out.
Well, and that's why it's all negative Donald Trump on Facebook, right?
Yeah. Also, he and Hillary are the two most hated candidates in modern political history.
Well,
so
no, I understand that as well. That. But my point is,
I'm sorry. Yes, and.
Yes, I agree with that completely. And do you see as much Hillary hate?
No, you're right.
Okay.
You're right.
I do.
It's in my fucking head. You see as much Hillary hate. Elliot, can I have your news feed, please?
I see a lot. I mean, it's from people who want Bernie Sanders, but they're okay, in a weird way. It's kind of, they're kind of mirroring each other, because you have the group of people that will never vote Trump because they see him for what he is. And then you have a group of people on the left who will never vote Hillary because they don't like her corruption and her secrecy and all that. So it's like you have people on the right that are looking towards Gary Johnson or Austin Peterson. You have people on the right, on the left, who are looking more towards Bernie Sanders. A couple of people have mentioned Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. So, but it's interesting that there's, I mean, I hate to use this phrase, but there really is a civil war in a way going on within the political parties of the country.
Not the name of the episode, Elliot.
I know.
Oh, you're making me look bad for not naming it the Civil War edition.
Just wait till we get to that. I have some thoughts.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if this conversation hasn't stimulated you so far, perhaps you can sue us if you live in France. Well, if we were an employer, you certainly could, because a man is suing his former company because his work was too boring. Yes, the French government recently faced huge protests against unpopular changes to the country's labor law. Most of those critics argue that French workers increasingly face burnout and exhaustion, but one employee has had a far different problem. He sued his former company because his job was allegedly extremely boring. The plaintiff, 44-year-old Parisian Frédéric Denel, is demanding more than $400,000 from his former employee, a perfume enterprise in France. What? As compensation for the boredom it allegedly caused. According to the Frenchman,
I'm going to interrupt. Mm-hmm. For those of you wondering in English, that guy's name is Fred D.
It is indeed. According to the Frenchman, the company should be held responsible for mental and other health damages, as well as the financial consequences of him missing out on a promotion. Denault claims that he was removed from his previous high-profile position in the company, which included managing contracts, whatever, and for the next 4 years he was asked to carry out much duller tasks. Denault simply was earning more than $90,000 a year, but the money was not fulfilling him.
Well, I mean, in France, isn't $90,000 a year worth, like, a McDouble or a McRoyale or whatever the fuck they call it?
Yes, he did have to pay 300% in taxes.
Yeah.
So, there's
that. I have a question. Do Netflix and Hulu not work in France?
I believe it's Netflix and Hulu, but I think they work, yes.
Look, I mean, look, I might get fired if somebody from my job ever hears me say this, but if you're fucking bored, goddamn, I watched all of 3 seasons of Arrow and the first season of Flash in a month at my job.
Such a hard worker you are. Speaking to the French emperor Lamont, Denard said his company wanted to bore him to death in order to convince him to quit voluntarily and therefore limit severance payments. Here's my thing. If your company is willing to just pay you $90,000 to do nothing because they want you to quit, but for whatever reason they're not going to fire you, why even fucking show up? Just, I mean, if you're bored, go get another job. This job's going to apparently continue to write you a check because they don't want to fire you for whatever dumb reason. Put it on them. I say this is this guy's fault for being an idiot.
I mean, that's the proactive way of doing it, right? You could even still show up to work, watch Netflix and Hulu, and get a free paycheck, because they're not requiring you to do anything.
I was assuming he wants to be productive in some way. And if this company just refuses to fire him for whatever asinine reason they have, just go get another job!
This is similar to Silicon Valley, where they hired Big Head at Hulu and gave him a ridiculous salary, but nothing to do, so he just hung out with those dudes on the roof.
It's true.
Very similar to that.
I believe Denard translates to Big Head in French, so.
Yeah, but there's another suppressed premise of this whole thing, right? And Adam Carolla has actually talked about this on his show recently, or maybe it was the Adam and Dr. Drew show, I don't remember. Yeah, I'm
Look
beating
at you,
it.
Two
beating,
Carolla references.
Am I beating you to the punch on this one, Daniel?
Twice today. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, where he talks about, where did it become that your job is supposed to be fulfilling? And I actually kind of disagree with him on a little bit of this, ideally. Like, I think ideally you should move towards a fulfilling job, and, like, that should be your goal. But there's no requirement that it is. You don't fucking, in the contract where you sign with the employer, you will do work for us and we will fulfill you. Like, that's not in the fucking contract. There's nothing in legally, and there's nothing in reality that says your job has to be fulfilling. So you have to decide. If you're a creative type like me, do you go to work to earn a paycheck and pay your rent so you can do things like a podcast and a web series and a blog? Then your job isn't going to be fulfilling. And if you get bored, you get bored, and you fucking watch Arrow at work if you have to. But otherwise,
you should watch Arrow anyway. It's a great show.
Yeah, by the way, my employers, if you're hearing me, it's fucking Elliot's fault that I watched all of it at work. So fucking blame him.
I blame Canada. So the other thing about the job thing is, a job is, many jobs, most jobs are what you make of them. Maybe in his position he was refused responsibility, even though I wouldn't understand that concept from a company. But you can find something to do in most cases. Maybe, I mean, there are some jobs, smaller jobs, where maybe that's not possible, but just thinking about all the work I've done at my previous jobs and my current job, if I was bored, there is something I could do. I could find some way to keep myself occupied, something I could do better, something I could refine, something I could do over. You have to make yourself productive in some instances.
Yeah, so. I agree with that. I agree with that generally, that that's also going to move you up the chain as well, because they're going to see you being proactive. But at the same time, I mean, from a previous job, it's kind of hard not to get bored where they just have you filling out an Excel spreadsheet all day.
Indeed. But you could fill it out better than anyone's ever filled it out before.
Yeah, there's only so far that it can take you. So I'm the same way you are, Daniel. Even when I was in high school and I waited tables at a retirement home, I found a way to try and make myself better, even though it was the same thing every time. So at the end of the night, we always had to pick these side jobs to, like, clean up the dining room. And the one I always picked was collecting the water pitchers. And what that was involved with was you took the water pitchers off the table, you dumped them out, and then you cleaned them. And I imagined that I was in the wait staff Olympics. So I was always trying to get the best time.
Except that you had such low self-esteem that you never medaled. So.
So I was so bad at it gave me low self-esteem, or I had low self-esteem which made me bad at it?
Yeah, so low self-esteem that even in your pretend world, you're like, oh, Justin goes for the, oh, and he's passed by three people.
You know, you may have just revealed something psychologically I never realized. I thought I was just motivating myself, but yeah, I did always come in second.
Came in second in your own fantasy?
Yeah, I was always like, ah, almost got it. I'll get it next time.
When you're jerking off, does the girl go with another guy?
No comment.
As you're diddling yourself, do you think, yeah, she's coming over to me. Oh, someone intercepted by someone much hotter. Okay. I guess I'll stop.
It's more getting left afterwards. Oh, that wasn't very good.
Just as cuckolding fantasy.
That's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away when they tried to tell me who my parents were and my arm got cut off and all that kind of shit.
Speaking of... people's arms being cut off? No, not at all.
No, I haven't finished my story yet. My point is...
God, you're still talking about water? Didn't we already do the desalination story?
Maybe this should be the water edition. Fuck you, Elliot, the Civil War edition. Maybe this should be the water edition. No, my point is just, like, I found fucking creative ways to do that kind of shit. Like, even when I was filling out the spreadsheets at a boring job, I tried to, like you said, Daniel, I tried to do them better than anyone ever did them before. But there's only so long that works for, before you realize you're cuckolding yourself in your own fantasy.
Speaking of fantasies that are never going to come true, the New York Post... not known to be a social justice-y liberal newspaper, has an op-ed by one Lindsay Putnam titled Pet Owners Deserve Family Leave Too. Yes. But before we get into this story,
what
I want
to
know...
Family Leave 1? I never saw that movie.
Hilarious! Before we get into this story, I want to know that... with this show, it's too late. The trending news section right now... The New York Post is awesome. Trending story number one, Ozzy Osbourne is missing. Trending story number two.
Wait, that's a little suspicious.
That's trending story number one. Trending story number two, we found Ozzy Osbourne.
No, it's not.
It abso-fucking-lutely is. I took a screenshot. I'll send it to you. And then story number three is, what happened when I did yoga naked with dozens of strangers? And it's
a
naked woman doing yoga.
We didn't know where you were.
And the counter, like the story counter for number of reads or something, is an arrow, and it is literally going in her anal hole. Like, the way it's set up here.
Oh, I thought I thought Ozzy Osbourne was doing yoga naked, and that's why he got lost.
Maybe. In his found picture, he is holding a bizarre-looking dog that looks wildly confused, so...
So anyway. Maybe they're really not getting divorced. He just happened to wander off and Sharon was like, well, he's gone. Might as well end the marriage.
Sharon! All right. Back to more ridiculousness.
If you divorce Ozzy Osbourne, does he realize you're divorcing him?
I'm not sure. You could certainly take half of his shit and he would not notice. So... do you think that the corollary of this story is that Sharon Osbourne's going to become a man? Because I think that would be awesome. Okay, so pet owners deserve family leave too. This article begins, bringing my adopted cat Jameson. One.
If you name your fucking cat Jameson, fuck you, you drunk asshole.
Dude, I know, it's like, you like whiskey.
Home with me in 2014 was
that
one of the happiest days of my life.
That is one sad woman naming her cat Jameson. Fucking alcoholic.
Yes, my jukebox, Tanqueray.
Oh, God. Okay. But having to go back to work 2 days later was one of the worst. While the rest of the country is hung up on the necessity of maternity leave, or even the newly coined Me-ternity leave, which is apparently maternity leave for people who don't have children.
Are you fucking kidding me? I can just take leave and jerk off all day?
I guess. We'll get to that
me?
Reddit on Reddit, but yeah. One group continues to be overlooked when it comes to paid time off. New pet owners. And here's where it gets awesome. Paw-ternity leave is already a reality in the UK. Pawternity. The British pet insurance provider Pet Plan found that nearly 5% of new pet owners in the UK were offered time off to care for their four-legged kids. Not to, so not their pets, but their kids who were born deformed. Four legs.
This is only in the UK. This shit's not going to happen here, at least not for, I would say, like a decade.
I give it 9 months.
It's never going to happen here, except in a decade.
Because we're about 10 years behind Europe in all of our crazy
shit. I had to remind myself of, like, wait, well, it could happen.
Not surprisingly, the UK is also light years ahead of the US when it comes to maternity leave, offering up to 39 weeks of paid leave for new mothers.
39 weeks?
39 weeks.
Somebody do the math. 39 divided by 4 is what?
Oh, Jesus Christ, Justin.
Well, there's 52 weeks in a year.
That's like,
so 39 out of 52, that's damn near the whole year.
That's what I'm fucking saying. What the fuck?
Yeah.
You can be fucking...
It's almost like 9, almost 10 months.
You can be back in a bikini model competition by the time fucking 39 weeks are up after you've had a baby.
They're weird.
Yeah, you could actually, like, get pregnant in that time and then only have to be at work for a few months before you get another 39 weeks off. That could be the biggest scam in the entire world. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. Wait. I'm ignorant, so women, don't make fun of me. How soon can you get pregnant after having a baby?
I mean, it's not immediate. I'm looking it up on the internet right now.
Okay, I was gonna say.
Oh my gosh.
Elliot?
You can ovulate as early as 25 days after giving birth if you aren't breastfeeding.
Oh god.
Oh, okay, so the breastfeeding fucks it up and everything.
You two are the ones who need to know this stuff. I don't need to know this.
I don't need to know
this. But think about that.
I'm not gonna bring a kid in this shitty world. Are you kidding me?
You get pregnant a month after you give birth to a baby, assuming you're trash, and you still have then 35 weeks of leave, which essentially you're, how many months along then in terms of weeks? 1, 2.
Wait.
Then you're 8 months along. You go back to work for essentially a month and then you get another 39 weeks off.
Wait. So first of all, this law favors Catholics. Second of all, I think you just called my mother trash, because my brother is born in April, the year after me, and I was born in January. So what are you fucking trying to say?
I was saying the people gaming the system are trash. My point is, if you were getting pregnant purely to game the system, you are trash. That was my point.
Yeah, there's a lot of those.
Also, Your family's trash. Okay. So it's time for the, just kidding. I love you. I love you all. All of you crazy people. It's time for the U.S. to hop aboard the pawternity train. It's not just because I want to stay home and cuddle on the couch with my new feline, which I do. While I adopted Jameson, he was 6 years old and had spent the previous years of his life in an animal shelter.
Oh,
he was,
I didn't
suffering
realize
from
you were quoting at first. I thought, like, I was like, when did you get a cat, Daniel?
I did not get a cat. No, thank you. After being neglected by his previous owner, and he was skittish, nervous, and uncertain. You want to stay home to cuddle with your cat. Let's not be pretentious about this. You can say it's good for your cat all you want. It's really good for you and Netflix time. Why don't you just get the French guy's job and watch Netflix at work? Okay.
Yeah, so Netflix and chill does involve a pussy, but that's the wrong kind.
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. That's what I was thinking. Okay.
Not that Elliot can't Netflix and chill too.
Just not with a pussy of either kind.
Right. So you're even fucking it up if you're gay.
The corollary to this story and to everything about all of this is, no longer do we look at jobs as a privilege, meaning someone is giving me money for my skills. We look at jobs as, you are a giant teat from which I can suck, and you have to provide me with sustenance no matter what, because you are someone who has the ability to employ people.
I agree with that completely, but I think it goes the other way, too. I don't think we look at employees anymore as people with skills. I think we look at them as people to fill man hours and complete jobs that are below us that we don't want to do ourselves. I always say it's very Marxist. We look at labor not as value added. We look at labor as time. And that's all the same. All comes from the same concept you're talking about. Or maybe both these manifestations are of that concept.
I mean, maybe. I certainly agree with you that is happening. I don't think it's nearly as widespread as the people who think that companies, corporations, big business, any business owes them something. And that they can get that something no matter what under any circumstance. And that they can just take and take and take and take and take. Paternity leave, 39 weeks for maternity leave, any number of benefits that millennials demand. What the fuck is going on? You're not entitled to a goddamn job. It is a privilege that you have a job, and you should treat it as such. You should not be looking for every opportunity to squeeze every penny out of your employer. You should be looking for every opportunity to make your employer better, to be more productive, to provide a greater value such that in return your employer can give you things that you deserve.
Right. I think...
And only if you deserve it.
Right. And I think that's the important point there, Daniel. Yes, squeeze every penny you can out of them by them having to pay you that because you add that much value to the company. Or as Daniel said, you deserve it. What Daniel's basically saying is you're doing it the negative way. You're trying to trick them and manipulating them into give you money with doing as little work as possible.
And yes. The sad thing is that that's considered the norm in our culture nowadays, which is the real
trend. Norm.
It has become the norm, but yes. Man, that's really depressing. I mean, so when you think about it, I mean, and I've said this before, you know, even when I worked for Disney, you know, when some of those union members would get, you know, all up in their asses about things, that I have to remind them in a cast member way, of course.
I heard that Disney was gay friendly. I didn't realize the cast members were all up in each other's asses.
Oh yeah, it's that friendly, man. That friendly. No, but the truth is, when you're a worker, you are a cost. You are a cost to the business owner. You have to prove that you're worth what they're paying you every day. And ideally, you prove that you're even more valuable so that they will pay you more. But people forget when you're working, especially when you're on the front line, you know, in the Disney parks, you are a cost. You're not, you know, you need to prove yourself worth more money. And when they campaign for $10 an hour, $15 an hour, whatever, the new vacation time off and things like that, no matter what company you're at, the more you petition for things, you know, more time off, more free money, more free this or that, that's money that's going to come away from the paychecks of people that are going to work really hard to earn it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all a mess. It's just, it's a mess because we have come to view jobs, a job as something that is a human right. And there is no human right to a job. There is a right to work based on your productive effort, work for yourself or work for someone else, whatever you voluntarily agree on. But there is no right to a job.
I think you just hit on something interesting there, Elliot, that we haven't really parsed out. The difference between a work and a job.
Right.
You can work anywhere doing anything. A job is something somebody else gives you doing work for them.
That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a very good point. The ending argument of this article deserves special ridicule. So I just wanted to take a moment so that we may do that. The ending argument here is, quote, according to Psychology Today, pet owners have better self-esteem, fitness, sociability, and happiness than non-pet owners. They also have lower blood pressure and cholesterol. Pause before I continue with the argument. That has to be asinine bullshit. Also, because it came from Psychology Today, it's automatically suspect.
Yeah, and I can attest, continuing, there's no way having cats has lowered my blood pressure.
No.
If you've ever been on the phone with me when I've been in my apartment, you can attest to that.
We've all been on the podcast with you.
Well, that's true.
Which is enough.
They're quiet
fucking
today.
Fucking cats.
They're quiet today.
Yeah. It's incredible. Okay. Finishing with his retarded argument. Having kids doesn't improve an employee's health, which would make them better workers, yet we grant them 6 weeks off to care for a newborn. Is it so much to ask that pet parents get a week off to do the same?
Yes.
Yes, it abso-fucking-lutely is. It is not anywhere near the same goddamn thing, you entitled brat. If I was this person's employer, I'd immediately bring her to the office and be like, ah, saw your article, you're fired. Please leave. Go spend a lot of time with your fucking cat. Okay.
Think about the way this person, I mean, fuck, this has gotta be a cat woman, right? And I don't mean Michelle Pfeiffer or, what's her name from Dark Knight Rises.
Jameson, the cat. Jameson the cat, yes.
And his buddy Hennessy.
I can't believe I pulled out the 90s Batman reference. I can't remember who plays the actress in the recent one. But, you know, this has got to be a Catwoman because fucking, can you imagine comparing babies to pets? As if like a potential, like the beginning of a human life is the same as a cat? Are you fucking kidding me?
It's just stupid because people genuinely do not understand what maternity leave is. When women are staying home with the baby, it is not a time of relaxation. It is not a time of meditation or self-discovery, quiet reflection. It is nothing like that. They are up at all hours of the morning trying to take care of the screaming child. The child might be sick and they have to take him to the pediatrician or, God forbid, to the hospital. Or they're learning how to be a mother to this baby. Their bodies are going through all sorts of things. I mean, goodness forbid, but some women struggle with postpartum depression once the baby is born. Maternity leave is not some free-for-all vacation time. And it's really stupid that people think that it is. And
yeah, that hit the key thing I thought. I thought maternity leave was we just didn't want busted vaginas hanging around the office.
Well, you know, some people might be into that, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't phrase it the way Justin did, but to sort of just co-opt what Elliot said, it is a medical recovery. You are recovering from a thing that happened to your body in the same way that you would recover from surgery or being sick. It's essentially a specific kind of sick leave.
A fucking
it's not...
creature busted out of your vagina, dude. let's not take this lightly, man. Like, little vagina... Big fucking creature. Like, that shit's gotta hurt, man.
And it put a top hat on its head and went, hello, my baby, hello, my honey, hello, my ragtime girl.
Well, speaking of babies busting, or maybe not busting out of your vagina, Elite Daily reports that Sweden is considering legalizing male abortions. And Swedes are not happy about this.
And immediately the NBA moved to Sweden.
So here's the thing. This is actually an article which I hope is going to foster an interesting discussion. But the term male abortion is not what they're talking about. That is a stupid clickbait term that is bizarre. But okay, here's the story. Quote, Sweden is one of the most accepting countries in the world when it comes to abortion. A recent poll showed 84% of Swedish residents support a woman's right to have an abortion. And then they clarify for you, aka the ability to do whatever she wants with her body. Mm-hmm. It was an implied mm-hmm, but I saw it there. Okay. A new proposal from one Swedish group may have residents up in arms, however, as they want to give men the right to a legal abortion as well. Proposed by a regional branch of the young wing of the centrist liberal party, the law would allow for a potential father to legally relinquish responsibility for his unborn child. If a man files a claim by the 18th week of a woman's pregnancy, he would lose all custody rights, but would also not have to pay child support.
I think I just realized that the person who wrote this article didn't understand what a legal abortion was, so they wrote the fucking retarded headline.
I think so, yes. That could be the case. So what, okay, so gentlemen, what are your initial reactions to this?
Why not? Freedom. Let them do it if they want to fucking do it.
All right. Elliot?
Look, I mean, we live in a culture now where men are drafted to pay child support even if they are not, in some cases, if it's not even their kid. You know, I mean, the culture nowadays is so anti-man that I'm going to look at this as at least one step against male disposability.
I mean, let me put it this way. What if she pulls the goalie on you, right? What if she pulls the goalie on you and you get pregnant? Like Bridget Moynihan, right? Pulls the goalie on Tom Brady. Now he's got a fucking kid. with some actress he didn't want to be with anymore, and he's married to Giselle. Why should he have to take care of that kid? I don't know why I'm now defending Tom Brady. Why should he have to take care of that kid? If you get tricked into having a kid, why should you have to take care of that kid?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
You can't force a woman to take birth control.
No, but I mean...
Wait, did you say can or can't? Because we need to be really clear about this.
No, you cannot force a woman to take birth control.
I thought you were taking a stance that I was not comfortable with.
No.
Wait, was he with Bridget Moynihan before, while he was married to Giselle?
No, he broke up with her.
No, no, no.
Suspiciously, when he broke up with her, she happened to get pregnant.
Okay. I was going to say, if he had cheated on Giselle with her, then I would be less sympathetic.
He dated Bridget Moynihan, then he broke up with her, and around the time he broke up with her, she suspiciously got pregnant, and then named the kid Jet. Fucking. Ugh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the kid's name is John Edward Thomas, BT Dub. I love it. Like, why am I like a, I feel like right now I'm like a woman from Boston. But,
That bitch was wicked evil.
I also feel like this is something Bill Burr would rant about on his podcast.
She'd be lucky to have Brady's sperm.
By the way, you can tell I've been getting angrier because I'm sure Mark Wickens, or Mark, I'm sorry I said your full name, Mark will tell us, my audio keeps getting lower and lower. It keeps modulating down, so that's how you can tell I'm getting angrier.
Love you, Mark.
Yeah, and then he married Giselle after Bridget Moynihan had the kid, so...
Okay.
I was using the example of, as Daniel almost objected to, no, you can't force a woman to take birth control. So you can be with someone, and she can say, oh, I'm on birth control, and then you're like, good, no condoms, and then she gets pregnant because she actually wasn't on birth control, and you're fucked as a man in today's day and age. You're going to pay child support for 18 years now because of that. So why shouldn't you be able to go into court and say, hey, look, on my iPhone, I recorded that I did not have consent to this. You want a fucking consent? We need consent contracts? Well, we should have a consent contract for wanting to have a baby, too, so we don't have to pay goddamn child support.
I knew I was going to be the one in this position.
That's what she said.
I have to attack this a little bit.
No.
I have to attack a little bit. So barring the situation where you are tricked into having a child where either you are told the woman is on birth control or she pokes a hole in your condom or something where she is trying to get pregnant even though you don't want to.
She blows she blows you and then takes it out of your mouth.
Don't say it!
With a turkey baster and then inserts it. Oh,
Jesus Christ. The show has hit a new low.
Give us 5 stars.
Oh my god. So, barring a situation where you are defrauded into having a child, where I think this kind of law would be a good thing if you could prove that, I don't think this is necessarily a good thing. Because there is something to be said about learning that there are consequences for your actions. So, this is something where I am pro-choice. I think women should have that option. But I also don't think abortion is something women should just use willy-nilly as a form of birth control. Like, it needs to be something where you are taught that yes, yeah, sex is awesome, it's for pleasure, you should be doing it, but you need to take these things seriously as well. And I think that is a good lesson for men as well as it is for women. Know the person you're getting involved with. Think about these things. What would you do in these situations? How should you handle it? Who are you sleeping with? Are they a good person? Are they going to do something that screws you over in the long run? Sex is important, and yes, it's good, have it, but also there are serious consequences that can happen because of it. So,
look, I want to be clear, Daniel. I have the same position where I think abortion should be legal, but I don't think people should go around having abortions. And in the same sense here, I think this should be legal, but I don't think people should go around doing it.
Yeah, I don't think any of us are looking, would think of this as a license to be, you know, to just misbehave all the time. But I mean, I do understand your point, because I do think in the end there has to be some sense of personal responsibility, within the both of them. And I think that, but I do think that in a context where a woman is being deliberately manipulative or careless or dishonest, I like that there is some protection for the man in the situation.
Right. I'm gonna make a comparison here to back you up, Elliot. I'm gonna make a comparison to back you up. Ready? I think abortions in the case of rape make sense. What Elliot is describing is similar to a woman raping a man.
Oh, God.
Oh, controversy. Controversy.
Coercion is a means of the initiation of force.
Oh.
So I comparison.
Controversy.
Jesus. I am neither going to defend or attack you. I will let the audience send their hate mail to @ the midside on Twitter. So
then why don't we just even keep going and be more and more controversial when we review Civil War in The Hopeful Romantic with JML. Before we get into Civil War here, I want to toss it to Daniel a little bit, because we finally have our Han Solo casting announcement, and it is not Dave Franco. It is a guy by the name of...
So Justin automatically doesn't care, because it's not Dave Franco.
Yeah, it doesn't fucking matter to me at this point, especially because I've never heard of this guy, Alden Ehrenreich. Is that how you say his name?
I guess. I've never really heard of him either.
Are we now casting Hitler Youth?
Yeah.
The corollary here, though, is that you pretty much could have said the same thing about Harrison Ford when he was cast as Han Solo.
So you're saying
not the Hitler youth portion, but the sort of who the hell is this kind of thing. I mean, obviously Star Wars didn't have the same context then because no one had fucking heard of it, but I don't know. I've never seen him in anything. Apparently he was in Hail Caesar. I didn't see that. Apparently he was in Beautiful Creatures. I've never seen that. I have no idea, but I don't think Disney would fuck up one of their greatest franchises on someone they didn't think was going to do an outstanding job or someone who didn't completely blow them away in the casting call. So.
And they did do their due diligence, so.
Yeah, they saw a lot of actors for this.
What a lovely Frank Olsen Haynes. Too bad.
I'm excited.
All right.
I will watch every single new Star Wars movie, so there you go.
I probably will too, actually, just to review it on the podcast. Although that's the way I feel about Marvel right now too, where it's just kind of like, oh, really?
Speaking of not watching things to review on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, Daniel did not see Civil War. So what we're going to do here is I'm going to give a brief summary, which will, of course, be a long summary because this is a long-ass fucking movie that felt like it was going on forever. And then
Hold on.
Shit, Daniel. You did not see this movie?
No, I did not see this movie.
Elliot got angry seeing this movie. Now he's pissed you saw it.
I want to tell people why I did not see this movie.
That's been like a long-ass message. Oh, man.
Okay, so here's the reason I didn't see this movie.
Okay, we're going. Okay, whatever. You guys take over. It's cool.
Here's the reason I did not see this movie. Are you ready?
Ready.
Because it looked fucking dumb.
That's why I did not see this movie.
I have seen some shitty movies in my life, and this movie just looked like a shit sandwich with shit tartare on top, and I was not interested. The fact that they have completely bastardized and destroyed Tony Stark's character over the Marvel Universe just had me completely livid. And all the trailers, none of the trailers were compelling. They kept changing the main focus of the story. I had no idea what was really going on, and I didn't care.
Well, so I thought you didn't see the movie.
And if Justin is going to fire me from the podcast for not seeing it, well, gosh darn it, I will have protested in a way that makes me feel about the same moral equivalency of Martin Luther King Jr.
So. If I was going to fire someone for not seeing movies we reviewed on the podcast, Elliot would be here right now.
It's true. I can't believe you haven't fired me just for not doing prep work for the show. Like sitting here on the microphone, reading the outline and reading the articles 2 seconds before I comment on them.
Okay. Okay. Well, now that we've established all of that, I'm going to give a brief summary. Then Elliot will give his 13-point review, I think it was. Elliot sent me, like, a fucking the longest message, like, just all the shit that angered him in the movie. It was hilarious. I guess I was better mentally prepared for this movie because I didn't really get angry while watching it. So, then after Elliot gives his review, I will give my review.
Okay.
And then my review will transition into the obvious comparison that you know we're going to make. So, yeah. This movie... is basically two movies in one. It's the Civil War movie, sort of, and it's also what you would have thought a movie called Captain America Winter Soldier would have been about. So one of the things I was always confused about Captain America Winter Soldier was it wasn't really about the Winter Soldier, it was more about Captain America NSA. That's how I took that movie. This movie starts out with the new team of Avengers in some city, I don't even know where, Rwanda, Sokwanda, Sokovia, I don't know these fucking names anymore. They keep making up fictional countries, right? Or I'm really bad at geography.
Those are fictional countries.
Okay, I was gonna say, I was like...
I mean, Rwanda's not a fictional place.
Yeah, but... I was using that to make fun of the name of the Black Panther, he's from like Wakanda or something like that, I don't know.
Wakanda?
I don't know where the fuck he's from, I don't know these fuck. I can't remember, there's too much shit to remember. So while they're there... a villain puts a bomb on Captain America's shield, and Scarlet Witch uses her powers of, like, moving shit and moves it into a building which explodes. You can already see the parallels to another movie right here. So because of this, it's decided any superhero, any superpowered person needs to be under the control of the UN. Now, this is not the Superhero Registration Act of the comics, but it is the UN is going to create a task force of superheroes to go and complete actions throughout the world. And if you are a superhero and you do things that the UN hasn't approved, you are a non-sanctioned superhero. So there's this whole scene where the heroes of the Avengers, old and new, decide if they want to sign the pact or not and pledge themselves to the UN. This, of course, has Tony Stark on one side and Steve Rogers, Captain America, on the other. So then the next big scene is where we are introduced to the Winter Soldier plot. At the announcement, the UN announcement of this, these accords, the Black Panther's father, the president of Sokwanda or whatever the fucking country's name is killed in an explosion, which apparently is perpetrated by the Winter Soldier, which, if you'll remember, is Captain America's buddy. So the rest of the movie then becomes Captain America is trying to rescue his buddy, find his buddy and rescue him, even though he's not sanctioned by the UN to do this. And then Tony Stark, who's now become a middle manager, who reports to General Ross, who reports to the UN. So keep that in mind. Tony Stark becomes a middle manager in this movie. But he is the head of the Avengers, so he got what he wanted, because Tony Stark's always wanted to lead the Avengers over Captain America. So middle manager Tony Stark leads his team against Captain America's team. The big Civil War fight is they discover the villain is trying to get to the island where all the super soldiers are hidden. There are 5 more super soldiers. So Bucky, the Winter Soldier, and Captain America need to get a helicopter out of a German airport to get to this secret island. I'm a little unclear as why it had to be in Germany, but basically they clear out the entire airport and the two teams fight with the intent of stopping Captain America from taking the helicopter so he doesn't do his unsanctioned mission. Within the fight, we have Ant-Man. We finally get introduced to Spider-Man. They're both very humorous. And then eventually Captain America and Bucky get away, but most of their team gets captured and brought to an underwater prison for superheroes. Tony Stark goes and visits the underwater prison and realizes, oh, Captain America is my friend. I need to go help him, help his friend, rather than follow the rule that I decided to follow when I signed up. So he goes there, and he sees Captain America, and he goes, just don't tell anyone I'm here, and I'm contradicting myself and my entire motivation. Then when they're there, the villain's there, and he reveals that he set up this whole situation not to get the other Winter Soldiers, because he shot the other five of them in the head, but he got them so that he could make Captain America and Iron Man fight. Why do they fight? Because it's revealed that Bucky killed Iron Man's parents. Again, sounds very familiar, right? So they both...
Martha!
Exactly. Except it's the inverse of it, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that. So then they fight. Iron Man wins for a little bit. He rips off Bucky's metal arm. Captain America finally gets the upper hand. Knocks Iron Man over, drives his shield into Iron Man's chest. So Tony Stark's laying there on the ground, and Captain America starts walking away with his shield. And Tony Stark says, my dad made that shield. You don't deserve it. And Captain America throws it down. Then we have a bunch of falling action, which doesn't really mean much. So that's the basics of Captain America Civil War. As you can see, the Civil War doesn't really mean shit. It's very underwhelming. They don't really go into the politics of it. And then it's really, this is really the Winter Soldier. That's how I saw the movie. And then one final thing that's important to note. In the falling action, they go to the villain. Martin Freeman, a.k.a. Watson from Sherlock, goes to the villain and says, how do you know your plan failed? And in prison, the villain says, did it fail? Did it? Which, that might remind you of another scene. But again, we'll get to that in a second. So that's the summary of Captain America Civil War. Elliot, go ahead and rant for us a little bit here.
All right. Why I Hated Civil War by Elliot Rivera.
This is like a grade school report. This is awesome.
You have no idea. All right. Number one, the whole premise behind Captain America's refusal to sign the accords is that governments could abuse it. Perhaps it's PTSD or post-shield traumatic stress disorder. But the thing is, protection of people is actually something government is supposed to do. The omission is glaringly evident because at no point does Steve Rogers actually bring up the subject of rights, which is what should be at the core of his opposition. Even when he says the line, it's better in our hands, he's not talking about the principle of self-determination. Thus, it's not really libertarian so much as an anti-establishment mentality.
Right, and I want to stop this right here. I've linked to, in the outline, an article from Salon that's complaining that Captain America has become a douchey Ayn Rand libertarian. So, sorry, Salon, Elliot just refuted your entire article in like two sentences, so fuck off.
Fuck off. The second thing, this really made me gross. You know, I hate Vision. I'm sorry, but I cannot stand him. And I can't stand him just because they make him out to be like the moral paragon of the group. And he's awful. At the end of Age of Ultron, when he has that terrible moment where he agrees with Ultron that the human race is doomed, it's sickening. In this film, he has a speech about causality where he basically says, gee, there must be a correlation between the fact that as superheroes come out, more supervillains come out. And then as more superheroes grow in numbers, then more villains grow in numbers. Gee, maybe we're the problem. To which I literally screamed at the screen, there's always been evil people, you stupid fucking moron. Oh, I can't stand him. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And of course, correlation does not necessarily imply causation. That, of course, is for our fellow philosophers and logicians that are listening to the podcast. Let me see. I'm not going to read all of it, but I hate the fact that they made the villain sympathetic at the end. My wife and my son died and blah, blah, blah. Can we talk about Alfre Woodard at the beginning?
Whatever you want.
Go ahead.
She's a fabulous actress. Don't get me wrong. She's fabulous. But when she accuses Tony Stark of murdering her son in Sokovia, and I'm just like, bitch, did you not see that movie? They spent like almost like an hour trying to evacuate that shithole. Seriously? Did you not see all that screen time? I mean, come on.
But he couldn't save everyone, don't you know? He couldn't save everyone.
Of course
superhero
not.
Superhero movies should just be 3 hours of rescuing civilians.
What else is there? Oh, the main thing, and I think, Justin, I think this is what you agree with me. I said, what are they fighting for? This isn't a fight. I mean, this movie was not about fighting over moral principles. It was a fight. It was just about stopping Steve. The true cause of the conflict is not Tony Stark signing the accords. The conflict of the movie is Steve and his actions. And you don't really understand his motivation. I mean, because you understand, oh, he's my friend, and I want to save him, and I want to take. But the truth of the matter is, he has things to answer for. And saying that he was brainwashed by Hydra, that's just not good enough.
You mean Bucky? He's still Bucky. Not Steve.
Yeah, Bucky.
Yeah.
Well, I meant
Winter
Bucky.
Soldier.
Yeah, but my saying is that Steve is the one that really propels the story because it's his choice to continue to go after Bucky.
But I would argue it's not a choice, but we'll get into that in a second.
Well, it's a compulsion at the very least. But the point is, they're not fighting over any, like Batman versus Superman is a fight. It's not really about Batman and Superman. It's a fight between Superman and Lex Luthor in a way.
Hold on. We'll get to that in a second. I don't disagree, but we'll get to that in a second. Okay. I want to build off of your point here. Okay.
I think
the word compulsion is an excellent word to choose. And I actually would not have chosen that word myself. So I appreciate you using that word. This movie is not a battle of ideas. It's not a theme. It is a premise to which then devolves into emotionalism, which these people are then acting compulsively. Tony Stark is acting off of his guilt, and he's acting compulsively off of that guilt, which is why he does everything. Likewise, his change of heart, quote-unquote, is not based on any sort of logic. It's emotionalism, which is why he's so easily able to flip the switch, because remember, he goes to the final island to help his friend, but then he gets there at the end, and because his friend won't help him fight his friend's friend, he fights his friend and his friend's friend.
Mm-hmm.
All these changes are based on emotion. They're not choices Tony Stark made. They're pure emotion he's operating off. Likewise, Captain America is taking his side, not based on any sort of logic, as you pointed out, Elliot. He's not making a coherent argument. He's just taking the side off of emotion. Likewise, his continual pursuit and rescuing of Bucky is simply emotionalism based upon when he was a child. As you point out, it's a compulsion to save this character. It's not a choice.
Mm-hmm.
He's simply doing this because I save Bucky because I love him. That's it.
That's right. When they talk about Civil War, this was not a Civil War.
No,
this was family
skirmish.
Yeah, it was like a skirmish. It wasn't. It didn't mean anything. You know, it's just that's the thing that's frustrating. You know, when we talk about Batman versus Superman, an idea, you know, a battle between the virtuous ideal good that Superman represents and the nihilistic destruction of the idea of the good, which is what Lex Luthor represents. Those are deep, profound ideas. The fact that people are so brain-addled as to think that Civil War is a better movie than Batman versus Superman, or that it deals with deep issues, it's just, it doesn't. And even though Steve makes a reference at the end of the movie to individualism, oh, I always trust individuals, like, but he doesn't say it anywhere else in the movie. It has nothing to do, it's platitudes towards libertarians and to objectivists. It doesn't actually mean anything because it doesn't come up in any other scene in the film.
And the interesting thing when you're talking about people's reactions, Elliot, is my review of Civil War is actually the exact same review that people have of Batman versus Superman. To me, the villain was underwhelming. The plot was incoherent. The movie was boring for large stretches of it. And there were two characters who were really good, Spider-Man and Ant-Man. It made me want to go back and watch Ant-Man, and it made me want to watch Spider-Man when it comes out. So that's literally the same review that people have of Batman versus Superman. And beyond that, I call this movie the shallow, retarded version of Batman versus Superman for many of the same reasons you've already noted. But also, if you look at the ending of this movie, it's the same exact fucking ending. The two main guys get there, they're manipulated by a villain to fight, and then they fight over the death of one of their parents. The death of one of their parents is the main turning point of the fight. And then at the end, it looks like the villain is lost, and the villain gives some creepy statement when he's imprisoned about how he hasn't really lost. Explain to me how these movies are different. They're different because of their thematic depth. And I think this is, every once in a while, and I know, Daniel, this is something you can talk about a little bit, not like movie-wise, but you have like litmus tests for people, right? Like you ask people questions which give you answers about who they are based upon how they answer.
Yeah, but if I revealed them to you, they'd be worthless, so.
Right, I'm not asking you to reveal them, but can you talk about the basic concept of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's not something where it's like, you know, your answer to this one question can determine all of the things about you and whether or not we'll get along or your character, but it's things like answers to certain questions have a strong indicator for the direction this is going to go, or have a strong indicator for whether or not, to put it better, have a strong indicator for whether or not I think we are going to be close or be able to associate with one another. That's probably the best way to put it.
Yes, and what he's talking about is he asks a question and their answer gives him that sort of clue. Well, to me, I think an ultimate litmus test is, which did you like better, Batman versus Superman or Civil War? That will tell me a lot about what you think about movies and stories and aesthetic and philosophy and themes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Well, I can say that I like Batman vs. Superman better because I didn't see the other piece of crap, so.
Asshole.
So to sum up,
on the one hand, Daniel, I'm so happy you didn't see it because I would not want you to be subjected to it. But on the other hand, since Justin and I subjected ourselves to it, you could have done so and some, you know, and show some solidarity.
The Uber regulation argument. Okay, Elliot. I get you. Because the taxi companies have to be burdened with horrible regulations, then Uber should too. Gotcha. Status.
Damn Austin. Damn Austin to the test.
So because I'm forgiving...
That had to be mentioned. Sorry.
And I have lower standards than Daniel, apparently. I would actually give this movie a 6 out of 10. I think if you look at production-wise, and you look at, the characters, it's hard for me to give it anything below a 6.
6?
Yeah.
I gave Batman vs. Superman a 7.
Right.
So... Wow.
I think you were harsh. Remember I gave Batman vs. Superman like a 7.75?
Yeah. Well.
But I also give
this movie
I still think the
a
best
null
cut,
set.
I still think the best cut of BVS is really, sitting on the cutting room floor.
That's the thing. We decided we weren't really going to review it, though, until the extended version came out.
Yeah,
is not what we can.
We'll give our final reviews then.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd give this movie about like a 5.
Yeah, that's probably better, but whatever.
Failing grade.
It's hard for me. Like I still like when I watch. It's like it's still Iron Man. Like I can still pretend. Like I don't know. Maybe I'm evading.
it's like even when they're fighting, you know, like they like between like Black Widow and Hawkeye. Oh, are we still friends? Oh yeah, totally. Well, it just depends on how hard you hit me. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like. This isn't a fight.
By the way, when a woman says that to me, I'm in much bigger trouble than Hawkeye was when Black Widow said that.
I hope not many women have said that to you in your life. nonetheless.
All right, I don't want to dwell on this any longer, but I think, as Elliot noted, it will be interesting to see the continued reaction because, you know, on the same 50 people on the internet, they are saying that... Captain America Civil War is much better. And, you know, to kind of circle back to my story that I opened the podcast with, the same woman who threw the thing in the fire and said, I was the first one who threw it in the fire and started coming at me about stereotypes. I had my Hail Snyder shirt on, and she actually, one of the first things she says was, somebody asked her who Zack Snyder was, and she said, he's someone who makes brilliant visuals that have no meaning. Beautiful visuals that have no meaning.
That wasn't an indicator to run?
Well, I tried to play nice. That's why, I mean, that's part of the reason I got so pissed. Like, I tried to play nice. Like, when she said that, I said, that's what half the people think.
Yes.
She has sold her $860 million.
But you don't know, even though that's the sixth highest grossing superhero movie of all times, that's a failure. And you didn't see fucking fuckface Devin Fat Fuck Farsi started another rumor? Where he said Ben Affleck is heartbroken or disappointed or some shit over the critical response to Batman vs. Superman. He started
he's one of the producers of Justice League, so whatever.
Right, they're saying that's why they made him one of the producers, so he can rein in Zack Snyder.
Whatever.
I love these rumors. They're awesome.
It's the same guy, and people keep reporting it. Why do people keep reporting the same false rumors from the same guy who obviously has an axe to grind? I don't understand. Is it because it gets them clicks? Is that it? It's all about clicks?
It's all about them clicks.
All right. Well, let's move on to a site that gets a lot of clicks because they have ridiculous content. And I found the greatest content of it all from there. It's time for Reddit on Reddit. Sony stupid, Xbox lame, PC gaming all the way. EA blows, Steam rocks, got Respawn on Firefox. These things are all on Reddit. Mostly pics of felines, comma, whoring felines. These things are all on Reddit. No, we didn't post it, but we will repost it. This first Reddit is the greatest Reddit of all time. What to do if you just want to ejaculate all day, parentheses, not even joking, but you have to go to work, and so you always feel angry. This is like Yahoo Answers, like, this is even crazy for Yahoo Answers.
Well, first you could get that job the French guy has, because you got a lot of free time, so. I feel like spanking it wouldn't be hard at work if you were, you know, if you had to resort to that, so. This is very reminiscent of Yahoo Answers answers, including with the horrible grammar and spelling. So good job there. Do you want us to give serious answers, or are we just going to laugh at the question?
Some type of commentary on this.
You should reevaluate your life because all you want to do all day is masturbate. You probably have a bad problem with depression and need to see a therapist, or at least get out and walk around, meet people, get a job, do something that's fulfilling with your life, maybe some light exercise. You know, I hate jogging, but maybe you could jog around the block once or twice.
Well, to be fair, I think jerking off all day would be considered light exercise. I mean, all day? 24 hours?
Okay, at least hydrate, because at some point it's just going to be a puff of smoke.
But that's
right?
What I was going to say. You're not going to be able to keep ejaculating if you're not hydrated properly.
Yeah.
I don't want to work. I just want to bang on my drum all day.
So Dr. Drew, would this be considered an addiction?
Non sequitur. Oh, sorry. I was playing the part of Dr. Drew.
Why is that a non sequitur?
No, it's just, no. What Dr. Drew would say there would be a non sequitur.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, you would say something not relevant? Yeah.
He's lost the ability to have a cohesive conversation with Adam Carolla.
I love when he keeps interrupting and just picking out, like, the most, the smallest part that's irrelevant, the non-essential part. And Adam's like, Drew, stop. Yes. Stop, Drew. And he's like, no, I just want to argue this point. And he's like, it's irrelevant, Drew. Stop.
Yeah. Anyway. And I mean, anything that is sort of, how does Drew define it? Basically, any behavior that even in the face of consequences you can't stop is an addictive behavior. That could be masturbating, it could be pop punk, could be Funko Pop collections, it could be cats, it could be... Also, I just noticed that you are, you have a propensity with for things with the word pop in them. Have you evaluated that? Is that some deep psychological thing with you? Like, are your cupboards just full of Pop-Tarts?
Not anymore.
Okay.
Freeze Pops, though.
That's true.
I love Freeze Pops.
Freeze Pops! I forgot about fucking Freeze Pops!
I don't know.
Freeze Pops, Pop Punk, and Funko Pop. Also, Pop! Like, literally just Pop.
I don't drink soda anymore. But I did a lot. I used to.
Wow. I never noticed this about you.
Neither did I. I'm kind of disturbed. So, would lying be under that category? Would psychological things be under that category?
I don't know. And even if they don't go under that category, they still go under things that are harmful for you that you should go out and fix through therapy or some other means. So,
in his case, he should get fixed.
That's what I don't realize. Like, I don't understand, right? Like, I make a lot of masturbation jokes on this show, but how the fuck can you jack off all day? Like, wouldn't you get bored?
I guess. I mean, if you've exhausted all of your porn sites.
Technically, he just says if you want to ejaculate, he doesn't specify that it's self-promoting. You know what I mean?
Okay, so, I'm going to say something that might be a little controversial here. I could not sit in bed all day and have sex. I couldn't.
Well, you could stand up.
Okay, yes. I could not have sex all day. I would not to. I would want to go do something. I would want to stop doing someone and do something.
We do not promote bestiality on this show, sir. That is a no-no.
Like, you don't do that, no-no.
Yeah, I don't get that idea either. Maybe it's because I'm getting older. I don't know. Maybe that's a 20-something man's game. But yeah, my point to this guy is, if this is something that preoccupies you, you need something else in your life. You are not being productive. You're not being fulfilled. You're not achieving your values in some capacity, and you need to figure that out.
I mean, it sounds to me like he's looking for something he's looking for a high, almost.
Okay, I thought you were going to say he was looking for something to do.
Oh, he's gone. But he's looking for, like, a high, you know, some way to kind of keep his brain, you know, like the endorphins in his brain kind of floating around, keeping him happy. That's kind of what I think, you know. It's almost like those people who they just want to spend all day getting high. He's looking for something from this.
That's good observation. You're just no one will ever get that from things that give you pure quote unquote pleasure, meaning sensational pleasure, physical things. Mm-hmm. You can get temporary satisfaction from those, but you're never going to get long-term happiness out of those. Long-term happiness comes from productivity and long-term goal achievement and relationships
and blowjobs,
sexual from a sustained partner over a long period of time. Not things that are immediate sort of candy bar happiness, you might say.
Yeah. I think that's what this guy is trying to go. He's trying to chase this high, and I don't know. I mean, if that's a question that a person, assuming that he's seriously asking the question, then it sounds like what he's really trying to do is trying to stimulate himself back into like a, not even like the perceptual level of consciousness. It's much more of a sensual level of consciousness.
I mean, I think he's definitely serious with this question because it's clear he typed it with one hand.
That explains the spelling errors.
Yes.
Indeed. All right, want to do the next Reddit?
Do we have to?
I thought this one would be right up your alley, Daniel. What would be the ultimate plot twist of the 2016 presidential elections?
I thought I already knew. Technically, I guess. I don't know. So I thought I already laid this out on the show. Did I not give my theory for how neither Trump nor Hillary becomes the next president of the United States? Did I not do that?
Do it again.
Okay.
If you did, I forgot because I'm retarded. And we forget everything we say on the show immediately after we finish recording.
I do have podcast blackout. So.
I forgot what I said in the news section already, so.
It is for the best sometimes.
And every week you ask me what we learned, and I go, I don't remember what I just said. So here's how it works. So this the dream scenario for me or anyone or any sort of political junkie, because it already gets my adrenaline going just thinking about how awesome this would be, would be for the election to be going fairly well. Gary Johnson's polling high. He's maybe, you know, doing well in his home state of New Mexico and maybe one other small state. And the electoral map comes out such that Gary Johnson wins some electoral votes. Any. He could win one. He could win a split in Nebraska. That would be fine. And then Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump are competing so hard that they essentially tie, or at least none of them have enough to get the majority of the electoral votes. Do you know what happens then? What happens then, which has happened in American history, is that it goes to the House of Representatives to pick the next president of the United States. And the House of Representatives only gets to decide from the top three electoral vote getters. That would be Trump, Hillary, and Gary Johnson. And at that point, the House of Representatives have to think long and hard. Do we hand this election to Donald Trump? Or do we give it to a successful former Republican governor of New Mexico who, yeah, smokes a little weed, but is not fucking Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton, but that's not an option.
I think there's a good chance. The House is majority conservative?
Yes, it's a majority Republican. Yeah.
Not and everyone knows that. Just to spell that out for the audience.
Oh, sorry. Yes, I live in D.C., so I live and breathe this nonsense, and it's best that your head is not filled with this shit. Okay, so I honestly think there would be a significant chance that they would hand the election to Gary Johnson, who could theoretically have only won one electoral vote, or maybe like two or something he might need, but like a very few electoral votes, under three. And that would be the most dramatic, awesome outcome of my political giddy life.
So let me ask you
this. I love the fucking West Wing and House of Cards, and this would trump all of that.
Or Johnson all of it. So let me ask you this then.
There you go.
Gary Johnson campaign strategy. Should he campaign for himself in New Mexico, and then in other states campaign for either Hillary or Trump to force a tie election?
Yeah, I mean, I think he absolutely should. He should only campaign in a couple states where he has a good chance of winning some electoral votes. So, New Mexico, where he was governor. I think it's Nebraska is the only state that allows proportional electoral votes, where if you win a certain percent, you can win an electoral vote. So he should do that. And then maybe Nevada, where he has some popularity. And that's it. And the rest, he should focus on getting as much campaigning to even out the states as best he can. I think that'll be hard because I think Trump is going to get trounced ultimately. But that would be his best bet for winning the presidency. I have a second scenario because I'm a political nerd, but this is my top number one ultimate cool fucking blow my mind scenario. So,
what's the second one?
The second scenario is the only scenario under which I would actually vote for Donald Trump. Intriguing. If we had commercials, this is where we put in a commercial to tease it. But we're not big enough to have commercials yet.
Everyone would not come back.
But that's okay. So my second scenario is, you know, I'm a little bit on the insider track here. My job in D.C. I mean, I'm not like a big wig, but I get some information from time to time passed over a coffee machine. And if I knew there was like a secret cabal, for instance, to get someone sensible as Trump's VP, say Cruz or Rubio or anyone even moderately sensible, and then get Trump elected, and if I knew there was a secret cabal to immediately impeach him, like day one, takes the oath of office, turns around, walks down the stairs, and the House of Representatives are already voting on the articles of impeachment, I would vote for Trump. But that would be awesome too.
What about the situation, the scenario where Hillary and the FBI, something happens with that? Is anything ever going to happen with that?
The problem is that Trump's the nominee now, so I don't care. Or the presumptive nominee. There could be some convention drama, but I think he's going to be the nominee.
If that happened to Hillary or whatever, Trump would automatically become president?
Well, not automatically, but it's hard for anyone to come like out of the woodwork and run for third party, partially because the dynamics of a presidential election are such that people had to start working on getting on the ballots a long time ago. The only other party that's going to be on the ballots in all 50 states, and they're not even there yet, they're just likely going to be there, is the Libertarian Party.
Well, the election then become between Trump and Johnson?
It could, except that, again, Trump, way more money, way more voter base. Way more voter base? That doesn't make sense. He's got a huge head start, essentially, especially in national media. I mean, it might be an interesting Johnson-Trump race, but I think Johnson would get trounced.
But I think that at this point, it's just a matter of getting Johnson and getting the other future Libertarian candidates on the debate stage. If he can score, if he can do well enough in the election, which I know is a long shot, but if he can do a certain percentage, I think it's what, 5%? Was that the number?
You have to, like, consistently...
I didn't hear it, Daniel. Sorry.
Yeah, Daniel, you want robot voice. One more time.
Daniel?
The debate stage, but... What? Hello?
One more time. One more time.
Hello?
One more time.
Say it again.
Okay. Here we go. I think it's roughly 5% for early on, but it gets harder and harder as the election goes on, and you have to poll higher and higher. But yes, I agree. I hope that Johnson does well enough to, one, get on the debate stage, and two, if he passes 5% of the popular vote in the general election, the Libertarian Party qualifies for federal funding, which is ironic, but it would help them tremendously in future elections.
If we poll higher... That's my Creed impersonation.
You didn't have a potato in your mouth, so I couldn't tell you were trying to be Creed.
All right, let's hit the last Reddit.
They'll sing me hell. That's Creed.
Yes, that's true. I'll leave the singing to Daniel from now on. Last Reddit. What have you witnessed someone do that made you realize he slash she is really, really smart?
Well, since I haven't met anyone in my life who's really smart. I'm just kidding. Mine primarily go back to my childhood and my grandfather, who I always, like when I was really young, like four or five, six, sort of thought was dumb, not because I knew better, but because I knew he didn't go to college and I'm pretty sure he didn't finish high school. And so my young sort of simplistic mind associated that with being dumb. And there were a couple things that made me realize that he was actually incredibly smart. The first was a simple one, and I was still young, and it's, I was doing a vocab homework, and I thought I would, like, trip him up, and I said, Grandpa, I bet you don't know what inconsequential means. And he said, it don't mean shit. That's what he said.
That's fucking funny.
And I was like, that's brilliant. That was awesome. And, like, even my young mind, I was probably 6 or 7. I was like, that was awesome. And then the second thing was, we were at a bar. Again, I was maybe 11. This is when you could bring children into bars, and it was perfectly fine. And my grandfather was having a beer, and he was talking to a guy sitting next to him on a stool, and I was just listening. And the guy was, like, a PhD from MIT in engineering. And they were talking about helix gears, which is what I remember. And the guy asked him asked my grandfather where he got his PhD in engineering. My grandfather said, I didn't fucking graduate from high school. And the guy was blown away. Like, could not believe it. That he had this knowledge of helix gears, this in-depth knowledge, and had never even graduated from high school. So that's when I realized, holy shit, this guy is really smart.
I love stories like that because it's just like it undermines the entire perception of like the American social status system. That's really funny. But what about like on just like a micro level, right? Where it's not somebody you know your whole life and they do stuff like that. Are there any sort of like tells that people have? Like for me, it's, and this is going to sound so arrogant, but if someone can either A, arrive at my conclusion at the same time as me, or figure out the ending of my argument before I get there, or come up with some other argument that's better than mine, or looks at something a different way than I did, and it's equally as valid, those are all signs of intelligence to me.
Complete sentences? Big one.
Not texting in text speak?
Like someone writing me an email and like there's punctuation and shit and they like know how to use a comma. Like that's pretty high level shit right there.
I love watching kids like show off their smarts. I mean, kids are so naturally curious and I think there's a certain intelligence that they have that I think a lot, unfortunately, it kind of gets wiped clean from them. Or as they get older, I guess through the public school system. But it's fun to watch these little kids, you know, like figuring out how to break out of, you know, like when their parents have them buckled in a stroller, watch them figure out how to break free from the stroller, all these little shortcuts that they figure out to get to where they want to go away from mommy and daddy. It's pretty it's pretty fun to watch, you know, as someone who's
You ever seen that YouTube video of the kid on the bed and he wants to get off the bed, but it's too tall? So he starts, throws a pillow down on the ground, then he reaches his leg down and he's like, it's still too tall. He throws another pillow down, puts his leg down, and he's like testing, experimenting. And eventually he's got three pillows down in the comforter and then he can climb down the bed. It was fucking awesome. He's like three or two and a half.
I love it.
Anyway.
Awesome. All right. Let's put a bow on this episode. What did we learn this trip? Daniel?
I learned that Justin had such bad self-esteem that he wouldn't even let himself win in fantasies.
Probably psychologically revealing. Elliot?
I learned that if I ever have pets, like dogs or something, I would name them Hennessy, Jack Daniels, and Yengling.
That reminds
Lagavulin.
Me. In undergrad, somebody wrote a story about his friend Jack. At being straight edge, I didn't understand that it was about alcohol. I was like, none of this makes any sense. And they were like, it's about alcohol. And I go, oh. Yeah.
You thought it was about his friend masturbation?
That would have made more sense.
What did you learn this week?
I learned that if a woman isn't breastfeeding, she can get pregnant a month after, in fact, 25 days after she has a baby.
Pretty incredible, huh? Women are just baby-making machines. And if you want to make more mid-side babies, you should tell a friend about the show. That's right. That's how we multiply here in the mid-side. It's not gross at all.
Yeah, I feel like you just had an argument for getting me laid, so thanks.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful process. It's not gross. You should want to witness it. You should want to be there with a camcorder. Okay.
Camcorder? Is it the 90s?
Yes. Yes, it is. Camcorder.
Who's your fucking smartphone?
Tell a friend about the show. I've told some friends and coworkers, and it's turned out pretty well for us. We've gained like 9% in viewership or something from that. So it works. Word of mouth actually works. Works, and we love it when you tell your friends, family, enemies, and pets. Especially if you're on paternity leave, turn on a little midside. Your kitty will love it. Especially all of Justin's cat meowing in the background. Really gets your cats off. And, of course, you can go to twitter.com/themidside, follow us there, send us hate tweets, facebook.com/themidside, share our posts. It's where we sort of dabble with the stories all week. We sort of share them around, like we'll do little test cases, see which ones are interesting. And then, of course, patreon.com. That is where, man, goodness, some of our best listeners just give us actual real money. Not even like Bitcoin shit, but real money to produce this show. Every piece of content we produce, you can decide to give us a quarter or a dollar, 50 bucks, whatever you want. That's still amazes me every week. That helps us keep the lights on, helps us reach more people. And then finally, because I don't mention it often anymore, iTunes. Absolutely go to iTunes, give us 5-star rating. Go read the other 5-star ratings that are there that are fucking hilarious because our audience is the best audience in the world. And then thank you to the Liberty.me folks for tuning in as well. We love the shit out of Liberty.me. So keep fighting the good fight. Gary Johnson, 2016.
I'm Justin M. Lesneski, and I hope you learned something this week. This concludes your journey into the midside. Good luck out there, and remember, if things get tough, take a step back and witness the farce.
Have a day!
Hold on a second. Where was your joke?
I haven't told it yet.
What part was it at? I need to know the mark to hit here.
I asked okay. I'm not going to tell the joke.
No, you need to tell the joke because I need to know how long I can rant for before you're going to interrupt me.
I'm not going to interrupt you until you get to a point where I can tell a joke. Well, I know how comedy works.
You're gonna tell me now where the joke is, okay?
Well, then it eliminates the element of surprise.
No, it doesn't. I can act, Daniel. Tell me.
No, I'm not going to now out of principle.
Are you fucking kidding me right now? Dude, it's gonna fucking destroy me right now. I can't even tell the story right, because I'm like, when is he gonna hit me with the joke? When is he gonna hit me with the joke? When is he gonna hit me with the joke? This is like waiting for a trap door spider to jump.
Yep. You're gonna have to deal with it.
Alright, take it again from the top. You're just making it hard on me. You're just giving me stuff to cut out in between my pause and the next part.
That's right. Did you just ask me if I make you hard?
You did set yourself up for that one. That was awesome.